Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, I love that. Nancy, good idea. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can do better than that this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus, betrayed, bloody, hated, tortured, and dead, today, forever, lives. And we cry out, what? Alleluia, Christ is risen. Yes, I like that last one. That was a good one. That one too. He has suffered all things, our Lord. All things that death could muster, every sin, every evil, every disease that we could ever possibly have, all of those things, he felt them in his own holy body. He endured all of the taunts and the arrows that hell could ever throw at him. He'd given his neck over to the devil. And yet he is not dead, he lives. This is the singular most important claim that the church makes, and indeed is the capstone of all of history, that Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, laid down his life and did so willingly. He was not coerced or forced, but he has taken it up again. He has fulfilled his Father's will. The prophecies have all fallen. The law is full. He was dead and buried, but now, in the body born in Mary, he lives. And here is the greatest surprise, one that our gospel lesson points us to. Not so much that he lived and then he conquered death, right? We knew that he would do that, right? We're not entering this story not knowing who Jesus is. He's the Lord of life. Death doesn't get to hold Jesus. The surprising thing is that he's not come back for vengeance. You know, someone rides my bumper too closely. I'm so petty. What do? I slow down. Or anyone else do that? It's church now. But these women and us have absolutely nothing to fear. We have nothing to be terrorized by in the Lord's resurrection. Adam failed him in the garden. David failed him in Jerusalem. The crowd failed him in crying out for Barabbas. Peter failed him in the courts of Caiaphas. We have failed him in our homes, in our country, in our work. He was tortured and he was killed for our sin. Not those people over there, not the people riding our bumper. He was killed for my sin and for your sin. And instead of bearing anger out of the grave, he comes bearing what? Love, a flood of mercy. Before Christ, it looked as though we would be destroyed, and that utterly, and by our own hands too, right? It looked as though our sins were just going to overcome us and we'd be forever their slaves and that we would endure their justice and shame, that we would be exposed as the wicked, selfish things that we all indeed are. That we would die the common death of men and go to a hell much worse than that of Dante's imagining. Because everything the devil did to us, guess what? We really did to ourselves. Right? We did it all to ourselves. We choose our actions. They don't choose us. Adam was a willing accomplice in the garden. He succumbed to temptation for sure. There's no question that he was seduced. But don't forget, Adam lived in a paradise. Right? Adam wanted for nothing. He wasn't hungry. He was surrounded by lavish, interesting, and delicious food. David, for goodness sakes, had wives aplenty. He had all that he could ever want in this life, all his desires met. But he was filled with greed. Greed bred in decadence. No one made those people sin. No one made you sin either. No one made you throw that temper tantrum or send that angry email, pushing that button. We should just pray before we do that. Nobody made you call your enemy a name or say something about someone that Jesus loves and died for. No one made you say that. No one made you steal or lie or cheat or try to manipulate for power. No one made you dwell on those vile thoughts. No one made you proud or arrogant or afraid of what people might think of you. We've done it all to ourselves. We've proven time and time again that we are our own worst enemy. And for that, we run to the resurrected and still wounded feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, still bearing the wounds of our transgression in his mortal body. And we repent. But, my brothers and sisters, we are not afraid of him. We have nothing to fear in Jesus Christ. Because though Jesus bears the wounds of our transgression, what seeps forth is a flood of love. He bears no grudge and seeks no revenge. He is gentle and patient with you because he loves you. He comes instead to give you peace, to give you himself with mercy and forgiveness and salvation. Jesus gives himself alive to his friends, now made his own bride, right? We are the bride of Christ. Adam is restored to his dominion over creation. David returns to the throne and wins the battle. Peter retains even the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And you, O Christian, you live. You are renewed and have life in him. The Prince of Peace, the Lord of Life, and the Lion of Judah. He lives. All other things in your life will fail. Most of you are old enough to know that by now. Some of you aren't, though. All things of creation rust and decay and grow old and they wear out and die. But not him. Not Jesus. He has died, but he has not decayed in the least. He has paid the wages of sin in full and given himself as a sacrifice, nailed to the cross and pierced by the centurion's spear. But nonetheless, now he lives. And he is the only one in your life that will never, ever fail you. All parents, all children, all grandparents, all friends will fail you, but not Jesus Christ. And so too, the sins that held us in that abyss have been destroyed. The war in heaven over. Satan cast down. And his sad future, the chains of hell. There is nothing to keep us ever again in hell. Nothing. There is nothing to keep us out of heaven. Our ancient enemy, that seductive accuser from the garden, has no more to say about you. His mouth has been shut by the foot of Jesus. He has no more authority to indict the sons of Adam. Because in Jesus Christ, the fallen sons of Adam are now the risen sons of God. The cherubs with flaming sword at Eden are removed. Instead of guarding, guess what they do now? They now sing praise and tell the women, he is risen, he is not here. And we shout with them, alleluia, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Oh boy, oh boy, I caught you. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen. Amen. Praise you, the Lord, my brothers and sisters, because Jesus lives. And give yourselves over to him. Stop fighting against him. He loves you and he is merciful. And now we look to death and say what? We say, oh, death, how miserable you are, you pitiful thing. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, you wicked liar, where is your victory now? Where is your victory that the Son of God has triumphed over you? So don't ever be afraid. The sacrifice has been made, the debt canceled and forgotten. Righteousness is declared. Jesus lives, and his love is yours. Adam, Peter, and David, they are all, every one of them, restored. You are reconciled to your Father in the Son. Your future is assured. It's not just death and hell, the devil and his demons that are undone. Clinging to him, your sins are also undone. They are gone. They are forgotten, destroyed, because our God lives. Our sins do not. And clinging to him with the mighty hand of faith, his life and he himself is yours forever. And he is glad to have you. He wants you. He loves you. Jesus lives. And he lives, my brothers and sisters, for you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.